So many people who believe in Jesus miss out on his power in their lives. To be sure, from time to time, they yearn for that power in this crisis or in the middle of that disaster. Problem is, between crises and disasters, they live their lives as though, well, almost as though God doesn't exist. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at God's power, the power he has ready and waiting for you, from a different perspective. Power, as it turns out, is one of the most precious, seductive, alluring commodities on the planet. The reason people chase so hard after wealth is so they can have power. Power is why wars are fought. Power is why domestic violence happens. Power is one of those things that everyone wants. And this week on the program, we're talking about power. But not the sort of power that this world has to offer. Not this sort of power that the world lusts after. Not the sort of power that people hunger for. We're talking about God's power. The Apostle Paul wrote about this power to his friends in Ephesus. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance amongst the saints. And listen to this, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. For God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So what Paul's saying here to the Ephesians is that his prayer for them, as they get to know God better and better, as God reveals himself to them more and more, is that they would wake up, and know the hope, the riches, and the immeasurable greatness of God's power that they already have because they believe in Jesus. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the sort of power we're talking about on the program again today, God's power. And if you've been able to join me over the last couple of days, you may remember that we've been looking at God's power through the story of Gideon, an Israelite who, back in Old Testament times, was called on by God to fight a battle against the Midianites and the Amalekites who were ravaging the promised land and oppressing Israel, God's chosen people. Why were they being oppressed? Well, because they'd rebelled against God. But God heard them, he heard them call out, and was about to come in power through this leader Gideon to set his people free yet again. But the problem was that God's people had been worshipping foreign gods, and that, if there's one thing that really kindles the anger of God, it's that one thing, worshipping other gods. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You will have no other gods before me. You will not make for yourself an idol. You will not bow down to worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Exodus chapter 20. And that's exactly what Israel had been doing. So before God could come in power to deliver them, there was a bit of unfinished business that needed to be taken care of. See, God is a God who loves us and longs after us. So if you and I are off worshipping other gods, easy to do, chasing after this and that and the other thing in this world, and he just kind of parachutes in each time we cry out to him when we're living through the consequences of our rebellion and our sin, and we're in the doo-doo and we cry out to him. If that's all he ever does, then what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what will happen. He fixes the problem and we'll go straight back to our old ways. No, God loves us. He yearns for us. He longs for us to be close to him and to be living in his blessing. That's what this unfinished business was all about. Let's have a listen. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, take your father's bull, the second bull 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father, and cut down the sacred pole that's beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold there. In proper order, then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the sacred pole that you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the townspeople to do it by day, he did it by night. When the townspeople rose early in the next morning, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the sacred pole beside it was cut down, and the second bull had been offered on the altar that had been built. So they said to one another, "Who's done this?" After searching and inquiring, they were told, "Gideon, the son of Joash, did it." So the townspeople said to Joash, "Bring out your son so that he may die, for he has pulled down the altar of Baal and cut down the sacred pole beside it." But Joash said to all who were arrayed against him, "Will you contend for Baal? Will you defend his cause? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been pulled down." Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, that is to say, "Let Baal contend against him, because he pulled down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and crossing the Jordan, they encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abizrites were called out to follow him. He sent messengers through all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet him. Great story. Do you see how the people's hearts were wedded to this foreign god? They were absolutely horrified that Gideon had torn down the altar to Baal. In fact, Gideon knew he was taking his life into his own hands, which is why he snuck out and did it at night. And so often our hearts are equally wedded to the things that we chase after in this world: success, career, recognition, wealth, comfort, control, power. This is the unfinished business that God wants to deal with before he comes in power to deliver us. Now, I'm not saying we have to work and work and work away at cleaning up our act before God will help us. Did Israel fight against the Midianites and the Amalekites in order to deliver themselves? No, not at all. As we'll see tomorrow and next week, God did that for them. But what he was looking for first was a change of heart. An altar is something on which we sacrifice. And just as the Israelites had an altar to Baal in their midst that had to be torn down so they could worship the one true God, so we could have altars in our hearts on which we sacrifice our very lives in order to chase after the trinkets and the baubles that this world dangles under our noses. It's tragic, but it's true. And what I believe God's saying to you and me today is that if we're living through the painful consequences of our sin and our rebellion, today is the day he wants the altars to the imposter gods torn down. Today is the day where, through his Spirit and his Word, he is calling us to a turning point, each one of us, to destroy those altars, to turn back to him. Because, friend, I tell you, God loves us so much, it is not until we do that that he will come in power to set us free. Look at what happened to Gideon when, through great courage and great risk, the altar to Baal had been destroyed by him. Have another listen. In the face of overwhelming numbers of the Midianites and the Amalekites, the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet. All of a sudden, Gideon was equipped for the battle, not in his own strength, but with the power of God. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you live in the victory and experience the joy that's available through Jesus Christ. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. Completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day. And it's completely free. To get instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh E-Devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll also instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his Word. I'm Bernie Diamond.
I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.